Hello, everyone. This is our final session. So thank you all so much for being here and hanging with us. The session is on the conscious change maker, ESG developer, investor, and retailer perspectives. Please meet our speakers. We have Glenn Ruffano, our ICSC chairman, Sharon Baer with Naveen, and our ICSC moderator, Leslie Campbell. Leslie, take it away.
Thank you, Nadine. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon for our panel today on ESG, the Conscious Changemaker. I am Leslie Campbell, General Counsel and Senior Vice President of Talent here at ICSC, and I'm excited to have with me today two of our illustrious ICSC members. And immediately to my left here, we have Sharon Baer, whom you all heard is the Managing Director of Retail for Nuveen. There, she is responsible for the asset management of a $6 billion retail portfolio, which includes regional malls and lifestyle centers across the country. Prior to her current role, she's held positions previously at the Rouse Company and beyond. So thank you, Sharon, for joining us.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have further to my left, as you heard, our fearless leader and ICSC chairman, Glenn Ruffano. He is the former CEO of VEREIT prior to its merger with Realty Income. He's also served previously as the former CEO of Connor O'Connor Capital Partners, as well as the former CEO of Cushman & Wakefield. So certainly he brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to our conversation today.
Thank you.
So let's jump right into this. Let me just start out by asking, prior to, let's say, 2 years ago, how many of you here would say that you even had heard of the term ESG? Let's just show of hands, right? A couple. So I think it goes without saying that certainly ESG has become quite the buzzword, quite the topic of the day over the last few months and years, quite frankly. And so we want to start out, before we jump right in, to just kind of level set of what is it that we're even talking about when we say ESG. And so by that we mean it's the process for setting, managing, and reporting on a company's environmental and social impact. So that's everything from how they're managing energy emissions, conserving energy, as well as the governance mechanisms and policies. So that could mean anything from, does this company have an independent board? Do they have an anti-corruption policy? What are the policies and procedures of a company? Right? So it's all of those things collectively that provide a framework for evaluating the long-term sustainability of a company's business model. So you've just heard me give you all sort of the theoretical academic explanation, right? But our panelists here are really here to give you the real-world explanation as to what that looks like, what that means, why it's relevant in the context of a real company, companies like yours. And so with that, we're just going to start out with a really broad question that I'm sure many of you, if you weren't already familiar with ESG, many of you are probably asking, what's the big deal? Why should my company care? Does this even impact the bottom line? And if so, how or why? So with that, I'm going to start with Sharon. Talk to us about, you know, in the context of your work, why should companies care? Why does this even matter? Why are we talking about ESG?
It's a great question, and it's one that our company really had to educate everybody from senior management down to the folks on the ground that are actually executing these initiatives for us. So I think probably first and foremost, we talk about doing the right thing at Nuveen. So that's very altruistic. I think there are a lot of people that feel like with diversity and inclusion and engaging communities, it really is the right thing to take a focus on ESG and move those initiatives forward. Secondly, you know, when you cut down to the financial aspects of it, there are two key drivers here for us. In the capital raising front, investors really are mandating that where they put their capital, they want to see that the companies have a strong ESG program. So it's extremely important to us as we go out and try and raise capital, and then for our existing investors that have their own obligations to their investors, that we demonstrate we're taking the appropriate steps to moving forward ESG initiatives. Yes.
Glenn, anything you care to add?
Well, first I want to say thank you for coming. I've been walking around. I'm sure you have, too. There's a lot of people here. It's great. It's even hard to walk around. And I'm the chairman this year, so I'm going to take credit for this. I'm told Tom McGee, you're the CEO, but this is a good convention. I'm taking the credit. Tough toenails. On ESG. ESG has been more important in the last couple of years, as everybody's talked about, but it's been very important for a very long time. This shouldn't be a new concept. I'm going to start out with the S, the social part. Should we be treating our employees well? Of course. Should we be listening to them? Of course. Why? Because without our employees, we don't have a business. So the social part of this is just really practical. It's business solutions to making sure you have a good long-term business and you take care of your clients. So that's pretty easy. The G, pretty important, corporate governance. In the public from a public standpoint, you realize that in 2000, you could have had a public company in this country that didn't have an independent board. You didn't need an independent audit committee. You didn't need an independent nom-gov committee. You didn't have to have an independent comp committee. It's crazy, right? Sarbanes-Oxley, which was put in place in 2001, from a public standpoint, changed all that. And that's just, again, this is common sense. If you're investing and I'll come to a private company in a minute, but if you're investing in a public company, you want an independent board, right? You want good people with core competencies running your business that you invested in. So the G and all the elements of G, common sense that have always been here. The E, clearly in the last X years with climate issues, whether you believe them or not, you need to think about them. And understanding the E and investing in E forms of capital, which could be lighting, it could be engineering for energy control, helps your business. I mean, it will save you money. And why not think about that? So ESG is very practical. This is not something that you have to say, I'd never heard of. Each element, if you think it through, is exactly what you're thinking about. We just call it ESG, and it's become important. And I'll stop here and then go on for what Sharon said. Capital. You need, I've been a public CEO for 20 years. In the last 2 years, have not got out of a meeting without talking about ESG. Our capital wants to know about it. But many of you who have a smaller company, it's not public, or a bigger company, it's not public, maybe you think you don't have to worry about it. You do. You want to have a joint venture with Nuveen? Sharon's going to make sure she understands your ESG policy, whether you have 5 people or 50 people, if you want her capital. So this is important, running from a small company to a large company.
Thank you both. And you know what? I just realized I failed to clarify at the beginning. You see, we are offering sort of developer, investor, and retailer perspectives. J.P. Suarez, you'll notice, is missing from our panel. He sends his regards from Walmart, as he unfortunately had to depart earlier today. So he certainly sends his regards. He wished he could have made it for our panel today. But we are certainly, I think, as you've heard, providing much, much insight from Glenn and Sharon here. And so with that, I'm just going to kind of continue on what you left off with, Glenn, in terms of, Sharon, can you talk to us about sort of how does this factor into investment decisions from your perspective as, the investor perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I want to take one step back and talk about just how these ESG, the policies and the procedures and adopting these models actually comes to play. And I want to lead with, I'm not a technical expert in ESG, so I'm sure there are a lot of people out here saying, to Glenn's point, what is ESG? Is it overwhelming? We talk about net zero carbon footprints by 2040, 2050. How do we get there? Do we need the expertise on board in order to achieve those goals? But I think from an investment decision, what we have put in place at Nuveen is a fairly rigid ESG evaluation of all investment decisions. So the ESG commentary is now a part of the rigor that we go through in our due diligence process. Our ESG team, the technical folks, have to sign off on the acquisitions. They are part of our investment committee memorandums. So we're really, senior management has said this is important. We're telling the public and our investors and our clients that it's important, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. So from the start, and then once we acquire an asset, and to Glenn's point, we are looking at all of our joint venture partners and all of the people that are working on our assets, all the way down to the vendors that are performing janitorial services, and saying, do you have ESG programs? Are you embracing tenants, community, diversity, inclusion, things of that nature? We take it through the acquisition and then roll it right on to asset management. So everyone on our team, while we're not experts in ESG, we know how to tap into those resources, and right down to the person on our team that's walking the asset on a daily basis, they're thinking about the goals and mandates that they have in front of them to achieve ESG objectives.
Yep. Thank you for that. Glenn, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I'll follow up on that. It's a really good topic. How practical is this? I mean, as Sharon said, from an underwriting standpoint, she's not investing. And if I am the CEO of a company called Verit, which I was until very recently, we're not investing unless part of that report talks about climate and what can happen to that investment. It's, again, a practical issue. Are we having flooding problems? You know, is the heat such that we're going to have fires? I mean, what could affect the valuation of that property? And we have to have answers for that. Valuers, appraisers, have to start thinking about appraising your property, thinking about the environmental issues which may or may not apply. And so this, again, I always get back to, this is as simple, it's practical, but then it goes a little more than that. If you're a public company and you want to get rated by the rating agency, S&P and Moody's, they are going to now consider your ESG programs as you get rated. That's a pretty important element, isn't it? There's a company called ISS, which you may or may not have heard of. ISS represents institutions. I'm not sure if they represent you, Sharon. You probably do your own work on ESG, don't you?
We do.
Yeah. So that if I put out a proxy, and in that proxy, it goes to an institution who don't rate proxies. They go to ISS, who rate the proxies for them. ISS requires us to have an ESG program as part of our proxy. And if we don't, they may tell their institution to vote no to vote for our directors. That's pretty important. And lastly, the Securities and Exchange Commission has just come out with a paper which will require public companies to review ESG. And there's scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3. And scope 3 is the environmental part. And we are going to have to conform to that. So it's practical from my standpoint, but there's another level where if you don't conform, you will lose capital. And so we all have to be thinking about how we're going to practically work with ESG, and then some of the overlying issues that we're going to have to make sure we can raise capital.
Yeah, we didn't talk about too much about the regulatory environments, the regulatory environment at the federal, state, and local level. And frankly, tax incentives and things of that nature that are available, special financing arrangements that can be secured with ESG initiatives. So it does go on and on in terms of what we're going to be required to do, and then secondly, the benefits to the bottom line.
Thank you for that. So certainly you all are hearing that it's an imperative, right? But I'm sure there probably at times can be some challenges in actually implementing some of these measures. So talk to us about, you know, from the E, the S, or the G, what from your perspective, where you sit, has been the most challenging piece of this to actually adopt and implement within an organization?
I'll start. Okay. You've been starting.
Okay.
What we did in our last company to make sure we had the right people, because Sharon's right, the E, there's some technical issues to the E on carbon and so forth, where you need some experts. What we did was we took our general counsel, similar to Leslie, and we said, you are in charge of our ESG program. You're the chairman of a little committee who will report to our board. Now, as the CEO, you have to be very much involved. I'm not taking the CEO out of the equation, but we put someone in charge, and then the E, we took our head of asset management and said, you're responsible for understanding the environmental issues. And if you need help and have to hire someone, come back, talk to us, and we'll do that. The S was our head of HR, human resources, who should be in charge of that. And corporate governance was our general counsel, who really works with the corporate governance element. So we created a little committee. That committee reported to the board, and it could report to the private company. We had it 2 to 3 times a year. depending upon whether we thought changes were necessary. And so we had someone who specifically could handle those requirements. It was part of their job. It was in addition to their normal job, I will admit, but it was part of their job so that we could keep educated, and not only could we keep educated, but have someone who could communicate. And on our website, and you should have a piece for each of your companies which indicates how you're conforming to ESG. We did it publicly on a website so that we can go to someone and say, look, here's what we're doing. And our general counsel, who was chairman of the committee, was responsible for that website.
And just talking about executing at a local level, I think one of the things that, like I joke with our ESG experts, I get these emails and I pick up the phone, I'm like, dumb it down for me, because we have to execute the programs. And if I don't understand what we're trying to accomplish, it's not going to get done. So I think one thing that we've done, and I would encourage any of you that are just trying to figure out how to take that next step, is really parse this thing out. So as Glenn was saying, you know, you've got the E, you've got the S, you've got the G, you've got the talent that's going to oversee that, but then take baby steps. And we went this year for low-hanging fruit and said, okay, let's look at LED. Everybody understands LED and the energy savings, and there's a direct bottom line savings, and it automatically starts to get you some points in the ESG environment. It's very easy to explain to an asset manager or a transaction officer what that means. So we really have just said there's a lot that we can be doing. Let's take baby steps. Let's take the things that we understand, and let's try and get those executed, get some early wins, and then continue to grow everybody's base of knowledge in the ESG environment. And it's been, I think, it helps everyone from the top down take ownership, because now, you know, we're really embracing, we feel like we have a knowledge base, and it's much easier to get these programs executed.
That's a great point. And so let's talk a little bit more about that in terms of when, for your organizations, when you first got started, how did you develop this into or get buy-in so that this was a company-wide endeavor?
Yeah, good question. So we have the benefit. I think one of the things that has benefited the retail sector at Nuveen is we have a strong office portfolio. So office, I think, was several years ahead of the retail space in terms of executing on green initiatives and things of that nature. So we were piggybacking a little bit on what was being accomplished in the office space. But then, to your point, I will tell you from the top down, the Senda Duckett, if you go on our website, everyone, particularly on the Nuveen platform, has embedded in their goals and objectives for 2022 very specific ESG initiatives. So it is not just talking the talk, but it's in our objectives. We have to deliver, and our portfolio managers are mandating that as well. So the buy-in, at first, it's like you will get on board, and then the more we get educated on how meaningful it is for capital raising and bottom line results, et cetera, people are really getting engaged.
Sharon makes a good point in a number of ways. How do you get someone to conform to a new idea? This is kind of a new idea, even though, as I mentioned, it's practical. You have to have people believe in it. I mean, I don't think it's so hard to think about the fact that we should have a gender study to make sure that we get equal pay. I don't think it's so hard for people to understand we should have a diversification thought process because our clients are diversified. Why wouldn't we have someone in the organization make sure we're diversified to understand our clientele? That's not so hard to figure out. You know, from the corporate governance standpoint, being fair in corporate governance to our shareholders or our investors or ourselves as investors, it's not hard. But getting people to do that, even though I say it's not hard, is sometimes hard. And what Sharon said is really true. We're a meritocracy, right? You get paid if you do your job right. So you incentivize through a pay scale. And same thing, we have goals and objectives. And our goals and objectives for the folks on the E, on the environmental side, here's what we want to achieve. Now, you're going to have a bonus that's based upon achieving that over some period of time. Same thing with the S, same thing with the G. And as you give people incentives to do what they should be doing anyway, they do it. And they'll do it well and they'll do it right. And you can figure out ways to make sure that it's understood, it's the right thing to do, and by the way, you get paid for it.
Excellent point. And, you know, further to this end of kind of, again, you know, this is a new-ish topic for many folks, and a new area that many companies are kind of just getting started in and trying to figure out their way. And so to that end, can you share from, you know, your perspective or experience with your companies, what do you think in part is driving this kind of urgency, if you will, right, that this topic has come? Because I think in many respects, some of these areas were things that kind of many companies were doing in parts already to some extent, but I think there is, most people would agree, an increased focus on it within the last couple of years. And so, you know, is it consumers? Is it regulators, investors? Any thought as to what we're seeing in the marketplace that's sort of driving now the focus and imperative at this time?
Yeah, I'll start off.
I have some views.
That's good.
Yeah, do tell.
You know, I was fortunate. My wife and I lived in Australia from 2008 to about 2013. The Australian economy, just like Europe in general, had everything we're talking about back then. This is not new. We in the United States are late to it. So the urgency isn't the fact that it's an urgency. It's the fact that we're just behind the rest of the world, the democratic world, in this respect. And we're absolutely have to catch up, and we are catching up. Part of the regulatory environment is making us catch up. Now I'll say the real world. We, as I said, whether it's a rating agency or it's the SEC or it's ISS or it's capital, which is, at the end of the day, it's capital. The regulatory environment will, if we didn't want to, they'll try to make us do it, and we'll slow walk it, right? That's what we do in business sometimes. But we're not going to slow walk this. And I'll tell you why we're not, because you're not going to raise capital unless you have really paid attention to ESG. And again, I don't care whether you're a multi-valued corporation or you're building 5 strip shopping centers and you're looking for institutional capital. It doesn't make a difference. You better understand what the requirements are, and the marketplace is forcing us to do it, and it's the right thing to do.
And I'll just layer in 2 things. You mentioned the consumer, and I think there is an understanding that the consumer wants us to adopt ESG initiatives. Are they willing to pay for it? Has long been the question. And personal opinion is I don't think that they're at the point where they're willing to pay for it. So we need to figure out how to execute these initiatives in a cost savings way so we can pass those savings on to the consumer. The second, and I've lost my train of thought, there was something that you said that I felt like was very relevant, but the, I'm sorry. Go ahead. It'll come back to me in a moment.
And so my last question before we open it for any questions is, can you share with us an example of how your company obtained value from implementing an ESG strategy?
That I can take. We have a recent success that we've just highlighted this week. We have an asset here in Las Vegas, and we have executed over the past couple of years a very healthy water savings initiatives in a couple of different areas, in improving irrigation, in improving drought-resistant landscaping and things of that nature. And we're all about numbers, so we're delighted to say that we have reduced our water usage by 20 million gallons a year. It's a huge number, and bottom line impact was $100,000. So that's on an annual basis, and that's a huge win.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'll give you one example. We had a shopping center where we put in remote lighting so we could actually access that lighting. It cost us money, LED, remote lighting, but we were able to very effectively take it down from 100% to 50% at a certain hour, up to 80% at a different hour, down to 25% lighting at another hour. the efficiencies we were able to build in more than paid for the cost of putting in new remote LED lighting. So the ability to do this is out there.
Thank you both. Questions, anyone? Don't be shy. Yes, Nadine's going to hand you the mic there.
So if someone's evaluating your report or your ESG for your company, what's the standard? If you're evaluating this from an outside standpoint, how do you know that what you're writing or what you're preparing for this ESG platform is going to, you know, be consistent with what other people do or not do? I don't know. I think it's kind of open-ended. It's almost interpretation. What if they say, oh, well, we don't like your water program because it's not aggressive enough or something like that? You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll start. What we did, we went to every public company had a website that was anywhere related to us and looked at what they did. So how did they project their ESG? So there are absolutely examples, multiple examples of companies who have written up on ESG program. There's also a company called GRESB. Has anybody heard of GRESB? It's an organization that will actually send you a form that many institutions will look at, and you fill out the form as to what your ESG program is, standardized format. So there are standards out there. Now, to your point, what if someone says, I don't like it's not an ESG issue. It's a common issue that anybody has. You know, we're running a real estate property, and we think we're running it efficiently. Someone says, well, I don't think you're running it efficiently because you have too much, you don't have enough parking for your grocer. They can say the same thing. I don't like your water program. I should have a response. We think it's the best water program because, and here's why, and if you don't like it, live with it, you know? But we as the owners, we think it's the better way to do it. And if you're a regulator, tell us a better way. If you're an institution, tell us a better way. We'll listen. But we have every right to do what we want. Our only criteria is to explain to the marketplace how we are conforming to the best practices of ESG given the company we have. One last thing I'd say is many of our properties were triple net lease. Right? Now, we had no right to change the lighting or to deal with anything else. So if someone comes along and says, what are you doing on that property? We say, we can only do what we can do. And we're not going to be hampered or criticized for that. I mean, the markets just want you to pay attention to it and make sure you're handling it in a practical way.
Yeah, and going back to what Glenn was saying, having a program to start is like step one. Just have a program and get it publicized on the website, as you mentioned. So have a program, and then Glenn also mentioned GRESB. It's a checklist, and we live and die by it. Our funds are all ranked by GRESB scores. It's not difficult, frankly, to move the needle right out of the box. So I would say that there are cases where we've said, it doesn't make sense to do solar. You know, everybody's talking about solar now. That's a huge investment, and it's difficult right now to understand if that's the right direction to take. So we get the experts in, we sit around a table, and we flesh it out. So there's no, I don't think we shut down programs. It's really a collaborative effort between ourselves and our managers and our consultants to figure out how to drive the property in the right direction. But I would just encourage everybody to start to develop a program and put something in writing.
Yes.
I would just say, I don't think you're going to lose capital if you have a program that isn't exactly right.
I agree 100%.
That isn't going to happen. The market understands you do the best you can. They just want something to understand what you are doing that protects them.
We've got another question here.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Glenn and Sharon. I think your last answers were a perfect segue into my next question, which is, you know, from a retailer perspective, a huge opportunity is through solar to decarbonize that property, right? Or you touch base LED and triple net leases. So from a retailer perspective, how do they navigate those complexities to participate in these kind of programs?
If I'm going to interpret that, as an owner, I have a tenant who has a triple net lease. What do I do? What do I do as the owner? Gotcha. Actually, they do a lot. Because here's what I do as the owner, which is going to be indirectly an answer. I go to the, especially if it's a public company, I go to their website, and whether it's TJ Maxx or it's Walmart or it's Target, they will tell you everything they're doing in ESG. And I lift it, and I put it in my website. And I say, here you go, for all our TJ Maxx, this is what they're doing. So you can, again, you'll find out what the retailers are doing. And they all have programs. They all have substantial programs. They're ahead. I'd say the retailers are a bit ahead of the owners in this respect. Would you think, Karen?
I agree, definitely. And it's not only the big boxes, the smaller, you know, the Gaps of the world. And, yeah, they're all on board.
I would say, you know, as someone prior to my ICSC head, I was on the retailer side at Tiffany & Company, and I could say that even years ago when I was there, I, you know, chief sustainability officer. I worked in the global real estate department. And even within that context, we were already doing some of the things that you were talking about in terms of the LED lighting and implementing some of these initiatives. But, and at the time, we weren't calling it ESG, right? It was just kind of within our global real estate, our store development department. So absolutely, I think, you know, excellent question there. Thank you both for answering that. Any other questions? Yes, here in the middle.
Thank you. Oh, as both of you have mentioned, the capital concerns about this ESG so much. And I was wondering why. As you mentioned, ESG is already a part of the whole organization. But why at this moment capital or the money investors so concerned about ESG? What's the threat to them? What makes them now it gets so urgent?
I'd start off and say that the capital providers are doing nothing more than evaluating their investments, right? They're evaluating their investment. And when they evaluate their investment in real estate, they want to know about the location and they want to know how it's capitalized. But they also want to know how the company, who is the owner that they're investing in, is running their business. And are you running your business properly? That's a combination of how you're treating your employees, you know, what are you doing? It's a combination of your corporate governance, and it's a combination of what you're doing for climate control long term. It's the same evaluation from an investor standpoint as investing in the bricks and mortar. I got to know the company. Remember, we're talking about someone who's buying a share in the public company. What we do with our employees and what we do for our corporate governance and environmental is as important as the assets we own. And if you're Sharon, in my view, and you're investing with you in a shopping center, and you own that shopping center as a partner, right? Remember, you're a partner. You better make sure your partner knows how to run their business. ESG just tells you, as a capital provider, you have a partner who's running the business properly in their view.
Thank you. Any other questions?
If not, and one thing I would say, Leslie, just as a promote for ICSC, what we're doing at ICSC is we're gathering information on ISG to help you, the members. That's what Leslie, when I remember I said a corporate general counsel could be in charge? There you go. There's
the general
counsel.
That's the one thing that's not in my title there, but yes, comma, add another comma, ESG.
She's in charge of ESG, but it's ESG not to help ICSC only, it's to help our members. So what we plan to do is put out information for you in terms of what you should be thinking about for ESG, help you understand what a format should look like, help you understand what investors look like, everything we're talking about, so that you can go to a compendium of information from ICSC to help you in your everyday business.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that plug, Glenn. I mean, that's a perfect way to close out, which is that if you are interested in learning more, please do stay tuned, because exactly as Glenn described, we will be building out a full resource portal on this topic. We actually have just hired a director of ESG who will be starting in about 2 weeks, and so we will have a dedicated subject matter expert as well internally. So we certainly look forward to continuing this conversation. And with that, thank you to Sharon and to Glenn so much for your input. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
This concludes today. Hope you guys are walking away with some clear takeaways. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. right here in our activation area. In the meantime, feel free to step over to our brand activation area for our happy hour. Thank you and have a great evening.